Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
I'm thankful to be here. Are you thankful to be here?
Amen.
I thought about a text when John was speaking from the New Testament. The young lawyer went to Christ and said, "Master, what's the great commandment in the law?" And he said what John's been saying to you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Another thing I thought about when he started talking was his Ten Commandments, not Ten Suggestions. But since we have ordained a minister, it seemed like my mind has been on that. And I would like to speak to you about the ministry. And I'd like to do it in an unusual way. I want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. And I'm going to read the 10th verse. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, Ezekiel describes a strange creature. He's describing the ministry. And if you could probably ask some of these preachers' wives, they strange characters sometimes. But down in the 10th verse is what I want. "As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four had the face of an eagle." First of all, I want to look at this from the standpoint of Christ. And I'll make a point with that in just a moment. In the Gospels, there are four. And I think those four Gospels tell us about the ministry of Christ. And I think we can see those faces in the four Gospels. For an example, Matthew is the face of the lion. Now, why would we say that? Matthew is a Jew, and he's writing from a Jewish perspective. And a lion, also we find about Christ, that he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now, my youngest son got acquainted with a man down close to Fort Worth that raised wild animals. He had lions, tigers, cougars, I don't know what all. But my son said he fed the lions every third day. And on the morning of the third day, those lions would begin to roar. And they come up with a roar from the pit of their stomach that would make you feel like the ground was shaking. Now, what'd you bring that up for? Because Satan is a great imitator. And he attempts to imitate Christ, and he goes around not helping, but seeking whom he may devour. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Christ said, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." The devil destroys. He'll do it every time. So Christ is that lion, and a lion in the good sense is strong, is fearless. And when you read the life of Christ, in those Gospels, there were times Christ wasn't very gentle with them. He called them a generation of vipers on one occasion. He was a lion. But in connection with that, I believe that the ministry today is to mirror the pattern of Jesus Christ. Our ministry needs to be strong. Elder Hal Strumball taught me a valuable lesson a few years ago. He said, strong men ordain strong men. And the reason they do is because God has set a high standard for His ministry. And when we step down from that by just a little bit, then weaker men will ordain weaker men. You can see it happen all the time. But I believe these men here today have ordained a strong man. But there will be times in his preaching that he'll wonder. In fact, there's been times in the song service that I've actually argued with the Lord. Lord, do you want me to preach this? Do you really want me to preach this? But I have to go by what He says and what He gives me. I don't know how many times I've heard Sonny Powell say, if I follow the impressions of my mind, I'll speak on this subject. And I believe he did follow the impression of his mind. But then we look at the ox. Who's the ox? Mark is. He's the workhorse. In the first 45 chapter of verses of the first chapter of the book of Mark, he starts 27 of them with the word "and." Did you ever meet somebody that just kept on talking and said, and? That's what Mark does. Mark is the ox, and he labors. And sometimes a minister gets burdened, and he'll be burdened to his knees. But you know what? They tell me that if you take two ox and hook them together, when one of the oxen goes to his knees, guess what? The other one will too. But then you got some oxen to labor with you. There have been times in my past that I would get down in the muddle of grubs of life. I'd become president of the Poor Me Club. And my wife would say, call one of your brethren. And I'd do that. And I'd always feel better. Brethren, we need to converse with each other. Because the load gets heavy sometimes. But even when you don't have a minister around that you can call upon, Christ will go to his knees with you and bear you up. I read a text, I believe, in the book of Proverbs that says, where there is no oxen, the crib is clean. Brethren, we don't want a clean crib. That may sound good, but it's not. You know, sometimes when I get down like that, my wife, she'll say, I heard a man say one time, and she quotes me. Then she says, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. It hurts, but she's right. So we need to be yoked up together. And then we have the face of a man. I think this is one thing we often forget. Their preacher is a man, subject to passions like everybody else. The man in this, in the Gospels, is Luke. Did you know Luke tells us more about the virgin birth of Christ and the death of Christ than any other man? Right. Isn't that something? That God chose a doctor to write about the birth of Christ. And I hear somebody's, pardon me for this, but I heard a politician, I won't tell you who, but she said that a child didn't become a human being until they was born. What in the world did they do with John the Baptist? What did they do with Jeremiah? God called him while he was still in the womb. What did they do with David? David and all those men, how can you have life without a conception without life? You can't do it. But a preacher is a man. I had a member to tell me one time that he said, in the pulpit, you're a special person. But out of the pulpit, you're just like everybody else. I disagree with that. The man who baptized me was Elder Ben Howes. He was a special man in the pulpit, and he was a special man outside the pulpit. But he's a man. You know, I can remember a time that I tried to preach at San Angelo, Texas on a Wednesday night. And I made the biggest mess in this world and didn't have sense enough to quit. I wanted to crawl in a hole when I got through. And one precious old sister walked up to me and says, that's the greatest sermon I ever heard. I thought, sister, what's wrong with you? That was a mess. But I got to thinking about it when I went home, and I learned this. What we think is bad preaching, God can take and bless it to somebody else. Our God is not limited. He is God and there is none else. And Brother Carl, I've tried to preach without him. And that's a mess. That's worse than a mess. It's no place I want to be. But there's nothing in this world I had rather do when blessed by God than to preach the gospel of Christ. Our ministers are just men. I think one thing we have a hard time understanding about Christ, he was a man. He was also God, but he was a man. How could he relate to us if he wasn't? And then the fourth one is a kneel. And I love this one. You know, the other writers, Matthew and Mark, say a lot about the genealogy to start with. And Mark, he just starts with the gospel. He don't record that. But where does John start? John starts in eternity before time. Yeah. And look out, because he's coming out with everything he's got. That God allowed John to portray the eagle. My grandfather told me a story one time, a true story. There was a man in the community that captured, I don't know how and don't know why, but he captured a bald eagle and he put him in a small pen where he couldn't spread his wings. And my grandfather was there the day the man let him out. And he opened the door. And that eagle looked at that door. And he looked back at that pen. And all of a sudden he run out that door. And as he began to run, he began to spread his wings. And as he spread his wings, he began to soar. And he made one circle over that pen and flew directly into the sun. Now that's a beautiful picture of what a gospel minister is allowed to do by the Spirit of God. He'll let you out of your cage. You can spread your wings and soar in heaven. And that brings up Brother J.L. Rakes. He said, why do you want to gobble with turkeys when you can soar with the eagles? John soars and teaches us. You know, I read in the Bible, and I don't remember which gospel it's in, that there was one occasion that his disciples went fishing. Peter said, I'll go fishing. And somebody went with him. Friends, be careful what you do, because somebody's watching. And they fished all night. Now, can you think of anything more depressing to a fisherman than to fish all night and not catch a thing? That'd be pretty depressing, wouldn't it? But this is a commercial fisherman. He's doing it for a living. That'd be even worse. And when the morning came, Christ was on the shore. He had fish on the fire. Now, if Christ ever had a right and a time to scathingly rebuke the disciples, he had it right there. But he didn't. Ministers need to learn that lesson as well. He said, children, have you any meat? Nope. Don't have any. He said, come and dine. My father instructed me as a young preacher. He said, there'll come a time in your life when you walk into the stand, not worrying about teaching anything, not worrying about instructing in any way, but you'll reach back and get one of those sweet texts. My daddy called them a sugar text. And just let them feed. And we need that once in a while. Brother Harder was preaching through a book one time and getting on some pretty difficult things. And one brother come to him after he got through one time, said, "Brother Harder, I sure do need a dose of grace. We all need a dose of grace from time to time." So John's an eagle. The minister can be an eagle when he tells you about the resurrection. It can cause you to soar, cause you to leave this world. I'm going to close with this experience. Before I was ever ordained, they put me up at the West, at the Mount Zion Unity Association, held under a tent in Mundy, Texas. And I can tell you what my subject was. It was love. I cannot tell you how long I stood. I don't know. I cannot even tell you what I said about it. Because for whatever length of time I was there, I was gone. I was in heaven. I've had very few of those experiences. But how sweet they are. How sweet it is in this modern day society when it looks like everything in the world is going wrong. To come to the house of God and hear the news of a successful Christ. How good it is to hear what's happened to your sin. That he has paid the debt. And he, who for the joy that was set before him, despised the cross, endured the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. People often ask me, "What are we going to look like in heaven?" Well, I don't know. Don't have a clue. But I'll borrow a statement, Brother Harder, again. It's going to be just right. Brother Carl's going to have hair again. All of us are going to look good in heaven. And I've got a little sister that I think I'll see her. But I won't see her as I saw her here. I never saw her. She died in infancy. But I'll see her as Christ saw her, with a full spiritual, mature body. I believe that. If I didn't, I'd give up preaching today. So these four creatures, the next time your minister gets bold like a lion, pray for him. The next time he gets down and starts pulling the load like an ox, pray for him. The next time he acts like a man, pray for him. The next time he soars like an eagle, pray for him. Do you get the point? Pray for your ministry. Thank you very much.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.